Welcome to Beyond the Divide, where we cut through the noise to discover the truth that we're all just people and we're in this together. Today, we're going to explore a message that is as comforting as it is challenging: God's infinite wisdom and the beauty of trusting in His perfect timing. Have you ever felt like you're waiting on something, a breakthrough, a calling, a clarity, and it just seems to linger? Or maybe you've discovered a talent or a gift that's bubbling up inside you, but the world isn't quite ready for it. In this episode, we're going to unpack how God, in His boundless wisdom, equips us with spiritual gifts and talents, not to bury them, but to refine and release them at the exact moment when we and the world are prepared. It's a call to patience, a call to stewardship, and a call to bold faith.
Rise above, we're breaking through. No more lines, just me and you. Hearts align, we'll find the way. Together, we'll seize the day. Beyond the divide. Chasing truth
to the fight,
till the fight is won. From the shadows to the light, we strive. United, we thrive. Beyond the divide.
Hey guys, let's start with the heart of it. God is infinitely wise. He sees the end from the beginning, and He weaves every thread of our lives into a tapestry that glorifies Him. But in our fast-paced world, where success is measured in likes and launches, trusting in His timing feels countercultural. But Scripture assures us that every good and perfect gift comes from above, including the talents and spiritual gifts He's placed in us. Think about it. You are not an accident. God has blessed you with unique abilities. Maybe it's creativity that lights up a room, or empathy that heals hearts, or a knack for strategy that solves problems that others can't yet see. These aren't random, they're divine deposits meant for a purpose. As the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 12, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Paul is not just listing resume skills here. He's reminding us that these gifts are from the same Spirit, distributed for the common good. In 1 Corinthians, he expands. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. See the pattern? Variety, of course, but unity in purpose. Your gift isn't for hoarding, it's for serving others and stewarding God's grace like a faithful manager. But here's the twist, and it's the one that keeps us up at night. Not every gift is unpacked on day one. Some are hidden in plain sight, waiting for the soil of readiness. You might have a prophetic insight or a healing touch, but if it only blooms when you have the knowledge and the tools and the character to handle it without it handling you. God knows exactly when we're ripe. As 1 Peter puts it, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. The key: refine, don't hide. God calls us to invest, not bury. If you remember back to Jesus' parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25, I'm going to tell you a story. In the dusty haze of a Judean afternoon, where the sun baked the olive groves into shimmering mirages, there lived a wealthy merchant named Elias. His fortune was whispered about in the markets of Jerusalem, caravans heavy with silks from the east, spices that burned the tongue like forbidden secrets, and chests overflowing with talents of gold, each one a gleaming weight worth a laborer's lifetime of sweat. Elias was no ordinary trader. He was a man of far horizons, his eyes always fixed on distant shores where empires rose and fell like the tide. One sweltering eve, as the call to prayer echoed from the temple walls, Elias gathered his three most trusted servants in the cool shadow of his courtyard. The air hummed with the scent of jasmine and intrigue. "I must depart for a perilous voyage across the sea," he announced, his voice steady as the desert wind. "Empires beckon, but my estate cannot languish. To you, my faithful ones, I entrust my wealth, not as a burden, but as a seed for the kingdom I leave behind." To his first servant, a shrewd overseer named Micah with eyes sharp as a falcon's, Elias handed 5 talents of gold, bags so heavy they sagged like overripe fruit. "You who have bartered in the bazaars and turned whispers into deals, take these and multiply them as only you can." Micah's heart raced. He saw visions of bustling trade routes, partnerships forged in hidden alleys. To the second, a steady-handed scribe called Levi, who had balanced ledgers through famines and feasts, Elias gave 2 talents. "Your calm hand steadies storms," Elias said. "Invest wisely, as the stars guide the sailor. Levi nodded, his mind already mapping safe harbors for his master's coin. But to the third, a cautious youth named Silas, whose brow furrowed at every shadow, Elias pressed a 1 talent into trembling palms. "Even this small flame can light a path," he urged. "Guard it not in fear, but in faith." Elias swallowed hard, the weight feeling like chains rather than opportunity. Elias clasped each man's shoulder, his gaze piercing. "When I return, we shall reckon the harvest. The kingdom awaits no idlers." With that, he vanished into the dawn, his camel train swallowed by the horizon. The estate fell into a rhythm of watchful days and starlit schemes. Micah wasted no time. He slipped into the throbbing heart of the city where merchants haggled under striped awnings. With bold strokes, he traded the gold for rare dyes from Tyre and Arabian frankincense, then flipped those for linens that flew off stalls like birds from a snare. Whispers followed him. "That servant of Elias, he turns dust to diamonds." Risk mounted. A storm sunk a ship here, a rival sabotage there. But Micah danced on the edge, his 5 talents swelling to 10. At night, he paced the courtyard, coins clinking like applause in his dreams. Levi, ever the anchor, chose quieter waters. He lent his 2 talents to olive farmers on the hillside, securing bonds etched in wax seals, and bartered with fishermen for salted catches that fed half the province. No grand gambles, but steady gains. A drought passed, yields doubled, and soon his pouches mirrored the master's gift, 4 talents in all. Levi slept soundly, his trust in the soil as unyielding as Elias's faith in him. Silas, however, was haunted by phantoms. "The master is a reaper of wild fields," he muttered to the empty well. Harvesting thorns he never planted, gathering storms he never sowed. Fear coiled around him like a serpent. What if the seas claimed Elias? What if thieves slithered through the gates? In the dead of moonless night, Silas crept to the garden's edge where ancient oaks whispered secrets to the wind. With blistered hands, he dug a pit deep as any grave, the cool earth unforgiving. He buried the talent, catted the soil flat, and planted a thorny bush atop it, a sentinel for his shame. Days blurred into months. Silas polished lamps and tallied stores, but his eyes darted like a cornered fox, the hidden gold a ghost gnawing at his soul. Seasons turned like pages in a forgotten scroll. 2 years passed, marked by whispers of war in the north and bountiful rains from the south. Then, one crimson twilight, horns blared from the gates, Elias had returned, not as a wanderer, but a conqueror. His robes shimmered with foreign threads, his coffers brimming from deals struck in marble halls beyond the sea. The courtyard erupted in feast, roasted lamb, honeyed figs, lyres strumming, tales of triumph. "Bring forth my servants," Elias commanded, his face alight with expectation. The air thickened with anticipation, servants and kin pressing close. Micah stepped forward first, his chest swelling like a sail. He unveiled 10 talents, stacked like a pyramid of firelight. "Master, your 5 have birthed 5 more, through trades that span the sands and the seas." Elias's eyes gleamed. He embraced Micah fiercely. "Well done, my bold son, faithful in the forge of fortune. Now rule my eastern caravans. Enter my joy. Dance at the heart of it all." Levi followed, unveiling 4 talents with quiet pride. "Your 2 have grown through the earth's quiet grace, master. Loans repaid and harvests gold." Elias clapped his shoulders, laughter booming. "Excellent, my steadfast rock. Oversee the vineyards and the vaults. Share in my delight, for you've woven security from strands of trust." The crowd hushed as Silas approached, his steps leaden, face ashen as grave dust. He fell to his knees, the single talent unearthed and mud caked in his quivering hands. "Lord, I knew you as a hard man, demanding fruit from barren soil, reaping where no seed was cast. Terror gripped me, thieves in the night, losses on the wind, so I hid your gold in the earth, safe from harm. Behold, it returns untouched." A silence fell, heavy as judgment. Elias's joy curdled into thunder. "You wicked, slothful wraith, if you deemed me so ruthless, why not bank my coin with the moneylenders, earning interest and safety? You knew my ways. Why squander the spark I gave you?" His voice sliced the air. "Strip him of that talent. Bestow it upon Micah, who now holds 10. For to the fruitful, abundance flows like a river. From the barren, even crumbs are snatched." Turning to the guards, Elias's tone darkened like an eclipse. "Cast this worthless one into the outer shadows beyond the walls where jackals howl and regrets feast." Silas wailed as rough hands dragged him into the encroaching night, his cries swallowed by darkness, a symphony of weeping and clenched teeth. The feast resumed, but a chill lingered in the revelers' hearts. Elias raised a goblet, his gaze sweeping the stars. "Remember, my kin, the kingdom is no vault for the timid. It thrives on ventures of the valiant, gifts poured out like wine at a wedding. Bury not what is entrusted. Let it blaze, multiply, transform. For in the end, joy awaits the bold, while shadows claim the still." And so, under that Judean sky, the tale of Elias's talents etched itself into memory, a warning wrapped in wonder, urging every soul to unearth their hidden gold and set it aflame. So if you're sensing a gift stirring, write that book, mentor that kid, start that ministry. But if the timing feels off, then lean in. God's wisdom says, refine now, release later. You're building the vessel so it doesn't crack under the pour. Now, let's ground this with God's unshakable timing. The Bible is full of verses that whisper, "I've got this, just wait." Take Ecclesiastes 3, there is a time for everything and a season for every purpose under the heavens. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, knew the seasons, planting, weeping, dancing. Your gift season? It's coming. It's not on a calendar, but on his calendar. In Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. That lean not, it's permission to stop overthinking. God's paths aren't always straight lines. Sometimes they're scenic routes, and those routes build us into what He needs us to be. In Psalm 27, wait for the Lord, be strong, and take heart. Waiting isn't passive, it's active courage. And in Habakkuk chapter 2, for the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. Your gift's revelation, it's appointed. It is lingering, but not failing. And finally, in Isaiah chapter 60, the least of you will become a thousand, the smallest a mighty nation. I am the Lord. In its time, I will do this swiftly. So when the time hits, bam, it's like a multiplication, and you need to be ready for it. Trust in the Lord and His timing. And these aren't just platitudes, these are lifelines. In the waiting, refine. Journal your insights. Take a class. Mentor under someone who is seasoned in the gift. God's timing always aligns with your growth. So you're not just gifted, you're equipped to share it without shame. I want to step back for a minute into one of the Bible's most gripping narratives. It's the story of Joseph, the son of Jacob. And we talked about Joseph a couple weeks ago, but I want you guys to remember again, this isn't just fairy tale fluff, it's raw history. And there are ancient records of Egyptian customs of famines right around the same era. Joseph's life screams of God's timing. A young dreamer betrayed, broken, then brilliantly elevated. Okay, picture this. Joseph is 17. He's the favored 11th son of Jacob. He's draped in a multicolored coat that screams the golden child. God plants a gift early on, dreams that foretell destiny. In one, sheaves of grain bow to his, in another, sun, moon, and stars do the same. His brothers are fuming with jealousy. They plot, they strip his coat, they toss him in a pit, and eventually they sell him to Ishmaelite traders for 20 pieces of silver. That'd be about $300 today. Then they take his bloodied coat and trick their dad into mourning a dead son. So they were pretty brutal. But here's the intrigue of the story. In Egypt, Joseph's gift simmers. He is sold to Potiphar, Pharaoh's captain. He rides fast, managing the house with integrity. The Lord is with him. Scripture says, yet temptation strikes. Potiphar's wife eyes him. He flees, but she cries harassment. Slam, prison. 2 years drag by. Forgotten? No, God's brewing. Enter the prison twist. Pharaoh's cupbearer and baker land in Joseph's cell. With dreams plaguing them, Joseph's gift peaks. Do not interpretations belong to God? He nails it. Cupbearer restored in 3 days, baker decapitated. But the cupbearer forgets about him for 2 more years. Then it's Pharaoh's turn. Seven fat cows devoured by seven skinny ones, dreams that no one can crack. Finally, the cupbearer remembers a Hebrew lad. Joseph shaves, changes, stands before power at 30 years old. In his interpretation, 7 years of abundance, then famine. His gift is unleashed. God has made known what he is about to do. Pharaoh exalts him, gives him a ring, gives him a robe, gives him a chariot. He makes him second in command. He stores grain and he saves nations. Then the famine hits. Joseph's brothers come and bow to him for food. His dreams are fulfilled 13 years later. There are tests, there are tears, there is revelation. He tells them he's Joseph. They reconcile. The family relocates to Egypt. And Joseph reflects in Genesis 50, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. So the lesson in this story is that his dream gift was given to him very, very young, but he refined it in pits and palaces, and trials built character. Timing built legacy. God didn't hide Joseph's talent. He only held it until he was ready, wise, resilient, tool equipped, and when it was released, it changed the world. Your story follows the same script. Trust in the delay. It is divine design. So what now? First, inventory. What gifts stir you? Pray over 1 Corinthians. Ask the Spirit to highlight. Second, refine. Don't wait for perfection. Take one step at a time. Take a workshop. Take a small share. Take a, you know, a like an internship. Anything to help build your talents. And third, trust in God's appointed time. Look for patterns from your past. And remember that God is swift when he's ready. If fear whispers to you to hide it, counter that fear with Matthew 25. You are the faithful servant. And remember in 2 Peter, a day is like 1,000 years to him. Your delay is his precision. God expects us to be able to multiply what he's given us through practice, prayer, and mentorship. Fear of the unknown and even the devil himself will whisper to you to hide your talents from the world. Do not rob the world of the light that God himself placed within you. Pray daily that God will open your heart and your mind to wisdom. And if you find yourself in that waiting period, remember that God will never withhold a blessing from you, only delay it until you are ready to receive it. Trust in his timing and in your faith that you can be a faithful steward of the gifts that he gives you. We all long to hear those words when we see the face of Jesus Christ. Well done, my good and faithful servant. And so we must be ever improving ourselves. Never stop learning and never stop refining your spiritual gifts. It's a beautiful day, guys. The sun is shining. Get out there, improve yourself. Find out what gifts are laying dormant within you and bring them to the surface. God is waiting for you to be ready and he will help you. He will help you release your gift when the world is ready to receive it, and you will change the world. Have a great day, guys. Thanks for joining me.